Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. State House lawmakers rolled a new draft of Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposal, cutting taxes for the Alaska LNG project on Monday. The House Resources Committee's version would raise more money for the state and local communities than Dunleavy's proposal, but far less than the draft under consideration in the Senate. It's an effort to make the 800-mile pipeline, export facility, and gas treatment plant competitive in a global market for liquefied natural gas. But legislators and local officials say they're concerned that too much tax relief or a poorly structured bill could lead local property and sales taxpayers to subsidize the $46 billion project. Committee co-chair Robin Nayak-Freer, a Democrat from Utqiagvik, says the new version is a work in progress, but she says she's trying to find common ground.
We're still trying to work with not only the majority members and priorities as well as the minority members and making sure that we can get something across the finish line that is workable. And hopefully we don't end up in a special session.
The House Resources Committee's draft would impose a total tax of about three times larger than what Dunleavy proposed. The bill would also make the tax relief conditional on a number of things, most notably the construction of a spur pipeline to Fairbanks. The bill would also give the North Slope Borough and the Kenai Peninsula Borough, which would host the gas treatment plant and export facility, the option to buy equity in the project instead of receiving tax revenue. Representative Julie Coulomb, an Anchorage Republican, says there's still work to be done.
Even though we're seeing some adjustments that need to be made, I really appreciate the work that's been put into this version. I think I see a light at the end of the tunnel with this version, and that makes me very excited.
This is KTOO. Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. A lot of people, from toddlers to teens to retirees, had a lot to say to the Juneau Assembly at a special meeting last night. It was the first chance for residents to testify about a list of possible city service cuts and facility closures the Assembly is considering as the city grapples with a multi-million dollar budget shortfall. KTOO has more. Dozens upon dozens of people packed the Assembly chambers at Juneau City Hall like sardines, filling every seat, lining the walls, and stuffing into an overflow room. Nearly 80 people signed up to share their two cents on the city's proposed budget, as the Assembly deliberates from a list of more than 40 service cuts and facility closures due to a budget shortfall. But before testimony began, Mayor Beth Welland started off the meeting explaining that nothing is set in stone yet.
I know that people were not pleasantly surprised with the list of priorities that we marked for reductions. Be advised, this is just a list that we're going to talk about.
The Assembly is tasked with making tough budget decisions this year as the city faces an estimated $10 to $12 million recurring budget hole. That's after voters passed a tax exemption on food and utilities and a cap on the city's property tax rate last fall. Though some people are trying to reverse some of that damage with new proposed ballot propositions for this coming election. But for now, the list of potential service cuts and facility closures the Assembly is looking at includes hot-button topics like closing recreation facilities, reducing local grants, slashing some legal services, and city staff's travel and training budgets. Among the things on the chopping block, though, one did stand out among testifiers at the meeting.
Pools.
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 Pools. The Assembly is considering closing one of Juneau's two pools. But dozens of testifiers, like Annabelle Sullivan, a member of the Glacier Swim Club, asked the Assembly not to.
These pools are really important to me and a lot of kids in our community. Swimming has helped me become a stronger athlete. It's taught me how to work hard, set goals, and keep going even when things get tough.
Sullivan says the pool keeps her and her friends active throughout the year, even when the weather is bad in Juneau. Rendila says the same thing about the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, which is also on the chopping block.
Please think of all the families and seniors who would be affected if you close the fieldhouse or the Diamond Park swimming pool. Please don't take these important places away.
And Janet McAllister asked the Assembly not to close the Juneau Douglas City Museum, which she says plays an important role in keeping the memory of Juneau's distinct history alive.
It would be like burning down the house for the insurance money with all your grandparents' love letters in the attic. Don't take away our memory. You may not get it back.
Many testifiers shared sentiments of frustration, loss of trust, and a disconnect between what residents want versus what the Assembly prioritizes. Joanna Forst calls the proposed cuts to recreation facilities disappointing and unnecessary.
You have to understand residents are being forced to accept the blame and cuts to core family services while carrying the frustration of costly projects that we did not vote for and are not our community priorities.
There has been growing community resentment for some Assembly-directed projects that have ballooned in costs, such as the Eagle Crest Gondola, the Telephone Hill redevelopment, and the move to a new City Hall building. But there were also a lot of people who spoke with optimism and offered several solutions to lessen the severity of cuts. Here's Chris Benson.
I'd like to see you put more focus on raising revenues than cutting parks and recreation facilities. I would support you increasing taxes, head taxes, bed taxes, user fees.
The Assembly hasn't made any decisions yet on what will or won't get cut or closed. But those decisions must happen before the Assembly approves the final budget, which is expected to happen on June 15th. Residents will have another chance to testify on the budget at another meeting on June 8th. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. And the temporary flood wall along the Mendenhall River just barely protected hundreds of homes from Juneau's largest glacial outburst flood last year. And now city and federal contractors are racing to repair the damage and bolster it for the flood expected this summer. KTOO's Alex Solomon reports.
Construction is underway along the Mendenhall River. Dump trucks roar down suburban streets, hauling massive boulders. Workers in neon vests tend to the flood wall. The wall is made of HESCO barriers, blocks made of steel cages that are lined with fabric and filled with sand. They're stacked and tied together to form a temporary levee. Zachary Houdeshell is a foreman at Admiralty Construction, a contractor helping to take down and rebuild parts of the flood wall. His team uses a contraption called a recovery frame that hooks into steel cages to carefully pull them apart.
Since all of the barriers have an open bottom, it just lets you, when you pick it, all the material will eventually just come out of the bottom and release.
He points to a pile of sand and a stack of folded steel cages that they'll reuse. Then, Houdeshell says they'll level out the ground and stack them up again, this time three high instead of two along Riverside Drive across from Melvin Park. Last summer was the first test of the flood wall. It reached a maximum of three HESCO barriers high, and in some areas, floodwater came within inches of flowing over. Water also scoured the large boulders placed along the bank and leaked through the barriers, flooding a couple dozen crawl spaces. Some barriers lost their sand or slumped toward the river. This year, the City and Borough of Juneau and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are armoring the banks with more boulders, building the flood wall higher and wider, and extending it along a greater stretch of the river. Officials say they're building for the worst-case scenario and hoping for the best. Denise Koch is the city's Director of Engineering and Public Works. She says along some streets, HESCO barriers could be stacked four or more high, which comes with a level of uncertainty.
They are typically used at a max of three high. And then after that, it's less certain. You get concerns with the weight of the HESCO barriers.
Koch says when they build higher, they usually also have to build wider to create a broader foundation to support the weight.
And every year we're trying to, with HESCOs, we're trying to get through a slightly worse flood the next year. But they are not a forever solution.
The city is using $5 million pulled from the proposed Capital Civic Center project to repair and bolster phase one of the flood wall, which goes from the end of Marion Drive to Postal Way. The city decided not to move forward with phase two before the flood last year. But this year, the Army Corps stepped in to build it and cover the estimated $19 million price tag. Phase two will extend the wall along both sides of the river, upstream to Backloop Bridge and downstream to just before Juneau International Airport. The Army Corps has also shipped in 41 industrial-sized pumps to bail out any water that pools behind the flood wall. Herschel Deaton is the chief of emergency management at the Army Corps in Alaska. At a flood response training in Diamond Park earlier this month, Deaton said the flood wall should be completed by July 15, and he's optimistic it will protect hundreds of homes again this year.
The CBJ leadership has asked us to heighten it, to make it higher to basically withstand a 50-year flood, which is 90,000 CFS, which is cubic feet per second of water.
That's a measurement of how fast the floodwater could rush through the river. Last August, the record-breaking flood was at about 49,000 cubic feet per second, according to stream gauge data finalized by the U.S. Geological Survey. Aaron Jacobs is the senior service hydrologist at the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says the 90,000 CFS scenario is pretty unlikely. The flood would have to nearly double in size.
And so that's a 2% chance of it getting to that height in the next 10, 15 years.
That's based on statistics the Army Corps came up with in an unpublished report the agency declined to share with KTOO. Jacob says the flood this summer is more likely to be closer to what residents saw last year. The size of the flood depends largely on the volume of Suicide Basin, the glacial lake responsible for producing the flood, and the rate the floodwater rushes through the river. Later this summer, researchers will use drones to update the Suicide Basin volume estimate. The speed of the water can't be measured until the flood is underway. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And the Bureau of Land Management will convey more than 1,000 acres of land to the Alaska Native Corporation that intends to mine it, the agency announced earlier this month. The parcel is near Flat, a ghost town in western Alaska, and lies just north of the proposed Dolan Gold Project. Doyon spokesperson Cheyenne Kupluk says in an email that the corporation started exploring the land's mineral potential in the 1970s and is now working with the Canadian mining company Tectonic Metals. The corporation plans to begin a large metal exploration drilling program this year. Environmental groups say they're monitoring the situation. In an emailed statement, Northern Alaska Environmental Center President Crystal Lapp encouraged transparency for such projects and said it was, quote, important for the public to understand how land ownership changes can shape long-term decisions about development, conservation, and subsistence resources, end quote. Federal officials say the land transfer was a legal obligation under the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, which gives Alaska Native corporations the right to select millions of acres of federal land, and that it is not related to recent executive orders seeking to advance mining and oil development in Alaska. And in other news, tomorrow we have one cruise ship coming in, the Carnival Miracle, and then on Saturday there will be two cruise ships. This is KTOO.